Shelly and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for a marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NAOA, CAGA, PA, SLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HAPA, FAIR. We don't speak for any of them. They're guys. We don't even speak that well for ourselves.
Speak for yourself.
You're about to find out. Don't forget Recovery Idol. If you want your stuff to be played at the beginning of the show, write us a jingle that has Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in the word somewhere.
If you put Bruce's host, name, if you have Bruce's name in it, he'll put it on for sure.
No, we'll put him on for sure, no matter what.
Yeah.
And if you want to put Mark, Shelley, and Bruce in there, you can as well. And welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet,
dude.
So it's a little chilly in California these days. It's been a wee bit, you know,
Marty.
Something's about to fall on Marty. Wow. Yeah. Stuff falling over in the studio.
Are you all right? Seriously. Oh, my goodness.
Marty, unfortunately, Marty had some caffeine earlier today, and Marty's just having, he's having a lot of problems here.
Sitting still.
He's been peeing. He's
going to the bathroom a lot.
Wigging out a little bit.
Going to the bathroom, sniffing.
Knock the, you okay there, Marty?
You okay? Really? Seriously?
He knocked the.
I was trying to warn you.
He knocked the Arrowhead water bottle over. It's only 5 gallons of water that almost cracked him in the head. Wow.
How did you see that?
How's that for some bantering? We said bantering, not battery. Oh, by the way. Well, it's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Marty got clocked.
It's part of the water dispensing unit.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't.
But it's the part that we didn't really need. That's why it's not attached to anything.
Right. The part that we didn't know how that worked, so we just stuck it on top.
No, it's not that. It goes to, like, if you have a different shaped bottle, it's like an adapter.
Oh. Yeah, which, okay. Of course, we don't have, so we don't know really why they gave it to us.
Right. Okay.
I told him I'd sell it back to him, though. A couple bucks.
Go ahead, Hilly, do your shout-outs.
Well, shout-out to the same people as last time. Donald, Deborah, Brian, Bill, Fran.
Sort of.
Robert, Bruce, yada, yada, yada.
Sweet.
In Tucson, Arizona.
My home state.
The Center for Biological Diversity, which
sounds like another one of those places.
Let's just say they're PETA friendly, and I'm on their mailing list. I get
people
their emails
for
all the time.
Tasty animals.
Yeah, right there. I get their emails all the time. They have decided that it would be a really good idea to help save the polar bear by distributing 50,000.
Wait! Time out.
What?
In Tucson, Arizona,
they want to save the polar bears.
Where it's 150
yes.
degrees in the summertime.
Yes.
They want to save the polar bear.
Yes. Among other endangered species. They have decided that it would be a really good idea to further their cause by distributing 50,000 free endangered species condoms for the holiday and New Year's celebrations.
For polar bears?
Yes. If you look at the package.
You try to put a condom on a polar bear?
No, not on the polar bear.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Not on the polar bear, on the people. Because
people
they say that
people
if,
aren't doing polar bears.
If
you're trying to breed them out of existence? What?
Soylent Green is people.
No, because what they say is that based on projected population numbers, in the next few decades, that if we can cut down the number of people that we are producing, there will be more room for the animals, and we will not be infringing on their habitat quite as much.
That's stupid. I guarantee that we're not infringing on their habitat much.
Well, at any rate, so if you want one of these free condoms they're handing out, they come in polar bear, and I think there were gecko and some other animals.
Wait, how'd you like to tell someone, I'm going to pull out my gecko condom? At least a guy can say, I'm pulling out my polar bear condom.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, this guy's got to be hung. I'm getting my... let me have that gecko condom, please.
I've only got a flatworm condom. Sorry.
Doesn't really sound like you're swinging if you get a gecko condom.
Well, it's just, you know, each condom has a different picture of some endangered animal on it.
The Geico gecko is endangered?
Endangered. Yikes. Oh, all right, let's see. Well, we've got a bit of a whistleblower. Now, you guys know how much I just love the TSA.
Oh, yeah.
One of their former agents has that quit the TSA and has turned into a blogger, and they are blowing the whistle on a lot of TSA
things. Yeah, he's writing
a
tell-all book.
Yeah, writing a tell-all about how the scanners, those X-ray picture scanners, they do, in fact, take more or less nude pictures of you. And no, they don't delete the pictures as they're done. And yes, they do sit and point and laugh behind closed doors at your naked body.
Among other things,
the TSA has done. We haven't heard all of the true confessions yet.
Like, I give a shit about that. I don't care what they're doing. I never seen the picture. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know them, and they're behind closed doors looking at it. Okay. As long as they catch a dude with a bomb, I don't give a shit.
But that's part of his point, is that this whole scanner thing, all the TSA stuff, that it's not helping. That all kinds of crap is getting through, and they're only finding out about it later after it's gone through. So it's not helping. And what we need is to try to model our security on the Israeli airport security, which is totally different.
Everyone carries a machine gun and...
No, their security is based more on psychological profiling than it is on... stick everybody through this
and
machine
and racial
blast
profiling,
you with,
which they should be doing.
Yeah, yes, it is. And we can't do that because we're supposed to be politically correct.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting. That's just me. Which one was this?
Oh, I don't know.
I thought this. Bill sent in this study.
It's always a study. Bill's always got the studies.
He's quick with a study.
Is there money?
Of course.
Available for this study?
The author of the study is Christopher Pierce, PhD. He's the professor of neuroscience in psychiatry at University of Pennsylvania.
Oh, this ought to be good.
In conjunction with the Massachusetts General Hospital.
Ah.
They have found that the sons of male rats who were exposed to cocaine are actually more resistant to becoming addicted. But the female offspring of the addicted male rats are not.
Hoovers. In the humans, we call
those
Hoovers.
Why is this important?
Well, they said that they're trying to determine the genetic patterns in terms of, like, how these drugs affect reproduction and whatnot. Yeah.
No, they're trying to find out why there's so many strawberries around.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know you don't, but
there's
listeners
will know. What's a strawberry? I do not get it.
Those are females that will have sex for cocaine.
Oh. Okay.
Strawberry!
What? Mark is raising his hand.
No, I'm not.
Oh,
no, he's holding a cigar.
Okay, I was going to say, I've never seen you raise your hand before. This is new.
Yeah. Oh, I was afraid not to speak without somebody acknowledging me.
Okay. This is classic. And I think that Bill Wilson would, if he's still hanging around, which he might be, you never know, he is giggling with delight. Vermont State Police pulled over, well, they didn't really have to pull him over because he was pretty much as pulled over as you can get. Donald Bloom.
Into a tree or something?
Of Massachusetts. He is going to be appearing in court on DUI charges after he drove across the lawn and crashed into the home once owned by the parents of Bill Wilson.
Nice.
The founder of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Talk about, that's like the ultimate 12-step call.
If you're going to crash into a house, that would be Bill Wilson's parents' house.
There's your trip to Mecca.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's going to be a pilgrimage.
Pilgrimage, that's it.
That's awesome.
Yes, there are actually at the what they call it's now called the Wilson House. It's now a historic landmark, and there are several AA meetings there a week at that house.
Was
Can
there one
imagine
going
being
on
in the meeting no. and have some drunk crash through the wall?
The newcomer showed up.
Yeah. The newcomer, all right. Can you imagine being a drunk guy in a car and having them all converge on you?
Like got one of those white chips.
So we get to know you better. Well, those are their first 30 days. Please crash through the wall.
Yes.
There he is.
Let us know who you are.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, now here, anybody who wants to help with a survey, they're doing a study, and they need people to go and fill out this survey. It's
Why
about
don't they just have us do it?
We can. It's
no,
20,
but I mean only us.
No, it's. I don't know that there's a lot of money for this one.
And pay us to do it.
No, I can't find the name of the organization.
Whatever the funding they're getting, we'll only ask for like half.
It's a drug rehab center that's doing this, and they want to get at least 1,000 respondents before they publish any findings or anything like that. The website is the postacutewithdrawal.org. That's postacute and then the word withdrawal.org.
I never thought withdrawal was cute.
They're asking addicts and alcoholics to take part in it's a confidential 20-question survey about if you've had a relapse, basically. If you have relapsed, they want people to join this study and because they're trying to
Mark
determine the leading cause of relapse and find new ways perhaps
you
that
know
drug
what?
Treatment
the
centers
cause
can
you know what?
That.
Is drinking or
you
using.
Know, you know what? I should go get loaded and then tell the leading cause of relapse is offering money to take a test.
Yeah.
they're not offering money.
Oh, well,
they just want – they've gotten about 500 respondents.
I ain't gonna go off for nothing.
They're looking for about another 500.
The leading cause of relapse is drinking or using.
That's
it.
His theory is that when you first recover, when you first get sober,
yeah.
that's the first stage of withdrawal is basically your initial recovery and that – most people go through something called post-acute withdrawal, which is after you've been sober for a while and part of you still wants the drug. And what is it that successful people do to circumvent that as opposed to people
pray.
Who relapse?
They don't pick up a drink.
Well, at any rate, if you want to participate in the golly gosh darn survey, then go to the website.
Golly
Sheesh.
Gosh darn it.
I am just
saying, God, please remove the obsession I have to use.
There you go.
If that worked really well when I said, God, please remove the obsession to choke the crap out of the salesperson, I'd be really successful.
Yeah.
I'm just putting the information out there. Sheesh.
Thank you, Shelley.
Okay. The story's out of Washington, but it's actually an Idaho story. U.S. Senator Michael Crapo.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Well, it could be Crapo, but...
No, it's Crapo.
Is Crapo? Okay. How anybody with the name Crapo got elected, I don't know, but he did.
Well, because it most accurately describes what it is they do.
And you can totally remember that name.
That's true. I voted for Crapo. Yeah. El Crapo.
Yeah. Crapo.
He has decided not to contest the DUI charges that he got a few weeks ago.
Did he Crapo his pants?
It doesn't say he did. He actually ran a red light and was pulled over in Alexandria, Virginia. He registered originally a BAC of
I thought this was in Washington.
He's from
Idaho.
Oh. But obviously he works on the Hill, so Virginia is like right next door. So that's why.
There you go.
Where a lot of them live.
He registered a BAC originally on the breathalyzer of 0.11, which to us is nothing. But when he got to jail and they tested him again, it was 0.14, which fortunately for him is just barely under the limit that the state requires him to actually have jail time.
Well, that's like two beers, right?
Yeah.
He could get that changed, though.
0.8 is one.
Huh?
He could get that changed.
What?
Introduce a bill.
Yeah. I'd like it, like the blood alcohol level to be low.
Well, no, he's fine. He's just barely under the limit, so he's
right.
good.
But he's in the government. He could vote to have that raised. So that next time he won't even get a DUI.
Okay, well, at any rate, the interesting thing is that he was released almost immediately on a $1,000 bond because he has to go back to the Hill to keep us all from going off the fiscal cliff.
Yeah,
right.
That's going to happen.
They sent him back to work, basically.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Perfect. His nerves are calm from all the booze he's drinking.
Do you have the Carlton Fisk story anywhere?
No. Why don't you tell us?
The what?
Carlton Fisk, ex-catcher for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah.
This guy got a DUI asleep in his truck in the middle of a cornfield.
What? How?
Can't get it on the road. Got a DUI being drunk, asleep in his truck in the middle of a cornfield.
Which is where he should have been.
Yeah.
Asleeping in the truck instead of driving. Yeah. Now, here's what I'm wondering.
Keys were in the ignition.
Here's what I'm wondering. Well, and here's what I'm wondering. Was there, like, you know, 400 feet of torn up corn following the skid marks off the freeway?
Didn't say, but he parked in the middle of a cornfield, sound asleep, he got a DUI.
You know what, though? That's all it would take. Bunch of skid marks on the highway. That, I mean, yeah. You figure they found him in the middle of a cornfield.
He had to get there somehow.
Do you know how hard that would be to find a vehicle in the middle of a big
just
ass
just follow
cornfield?
The torn up corn.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You follow the torn up corn from the skid yeah. marks off the edge of the road.
Yeah. No, I mean, anyway. If I'm his lawyer, I got a perfect out. But I was depressed, and I wanted to drink, but I didn't want to hurt anybody, so I drove out to the middle of nowhere and parked, and then I drank.
Yeah, where's those bottles?
I like it.
Where's the bottles?
I like it.
I don't know. He probably hasn't.
He's driving a pickup truck in the freaking Nebraska. There should have bottles
in the
everywhere.
They're in the back.
Exactly. Yeah. They're in the back.
Tossing them out the window into the back truck bed.
Truck bed looks like a recycling center.
Probably. In New York. Oh, are we moving on?
Sure. We're moving on.
Oh, okay. In New York, a possibly, you think, mentally ill woman was pacing and mumbling into herself on the subway station platform.
Yeah, that's not good.
Without any provocation at all, she didn't even know the guy, she leaped up and used both of her hands to shove a man from India into the path of an oncoming train, whereupon he died.
The 7-Eleven at the corner didn't open that day.
Oh, Mark.
Whoops.
Now,
Bloomberg. I just thought that. Did that come out that loud?
Yes, it did.
Whoops. Wow, okay. Did I actually say that?
Bloomberg, who is, you know, a model of
is this
crap.
New?
Yeah.
Oh, because something like that happened.
Did she drink
like
a 22-ounce soda?
Too.
Yeah, this is the second one in
did she drink a 22-ounce soda? So Bloomberg got involved?
No, but what I'm about to say is Bloomberg is quoted as saying, it's a very tragic case, but we want to focus on today is the overall safety in New York. You know, okay, what I don't get about this, you got these subways, they've been there since God made dirt, right? And everybody knows how unsafe it is to stand near the edge of the platform. They know about the third rail, blah, blah, blah. What I want to know is, when I go to Disneyland and I want to get on a roller coaster, I have to wait behind a gate.
I always wonder about that myself.
What the hell? This is 2000, whatever it is, 12, almost 13. They can't figure out a way to put gates on the edge of the platform?
You know, they always talk about that. I've always wondered that as well. It's like, really? So you can stand right next to an open platform down in the right
you
next
ever get
to
it on
and
off the subway in New York?
No.
Then you don't get it.
Why don't you just have a like glass thing that opens at the same time the doors of the subway open?
For those who are of the age of us, remember the old Dick Tracy cartoons?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where all the cars are just like this big scramble, and then all of a sudden all the traffic opens up while Dick Tracy's car drives through the dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what a subway system looks like in New York. There's like 1,000 people trying to get on and off at the exact same time through the same doors. And there's like this crazy melee, and then the doors close, and the next one comes. So you can't put up a gate.
Well, sure you can.
You know what a really good idea is?
Yeah, you put up sliding doors that open at the same time as the doors of the train, because you can't get in the train unless you're where a door is anyway. So it doesn't stop anybody from getting in or on the train. It only stops them from getting off the platform when there's no train there.
You know what we don't have to do that?
Money.
Yeah.
Well, they might have money if they still had bigger sodas, and people might buy more soda and pay more taxes.
That's right. The soda tax.
Soda tax. Oh, yeah. That's all we need now, soda tax. And Connor will go broke.
No, we'll go broke.
I mean, but we do have money to see how cocaine affects the sons of rats
as
opposed to their offspring.
Apparently.
Great.
I wonder how many times the city of New York has been sued for millions of dollars for people falling off the platforms and
it's not their fault
on the subways.
There's a sign.
Yeah, but if you just
says, don't fall in front, don't fall in front of the moving sub.
Yeah, I'm so comforted by
the
sign.
If you took all the money from even the court cases that New York won, you took all the money from that, you could have put in sliding.
No, you couldn't. You know why?
Doors everywhere.
You know why?
Why?
Because it's a union deal.
So what?
Cost you $74 million per stop to put in the little gate.
$74 million
per stop.
So you initiate an executive order stating that this is an emergency executive order, which supersedes everything, and you have the stupid doors put in.
So the if the emergency executive order spends the money you don't have to do what? To do doors.
Yeah. I'm sure they can find the money somewhere. It's New York. I'm just saying.
They already pay the highest tax rate in the nation.
I was going to say, make the Yankees get rid of like two players.
Okay, that'll
pay
okay.
for it.
That's right. If A-Rod gives out the rest of his contract.
Yeah, if A-Rod, well, yeah, you could feed everyone in New York for a month.
Okay, well, at any rate, we are up past time, so that is the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober internet radio. Yeah.
We're back.
Welcome back.
You don't even want to know what we were joking about in between here. Shelly was here joking about people dying on the track.
I wasn't saying a word. You were the one.
You were.
No, that was you.
Oh,
it's on
Mark?
You.
Who was it?
It was a Bob Dylan thing, Blood on the Tracks.
And the sun was chicken. I had an argument with someone today about, you know, he goes, Bob Dylan wasn't, you know, it's not like these pop singers today. I said, back in the day, Bob Dylan was pop. He goes, no, he was a folk singer. I'm like, but folk singer was what was popular then. It was pop. That was pop. That was the pop of the day. Every Joan Baez and all those guys, those were the popular people. What? Oh. So, we have a topic.
We do.
And that topic would be?
Commitments.
Commitments. We started to strike onto that slightly in the last show.
And then we wisely stepped away because we needed one more topic.
Because we needed another topic, yeah. How should we approach it? That certainly, I mean, we've talked before about, you know, getting commitments.
Uh-huh.
And the importance
and being,
of that.
And being committed.
And being, yeah, well, we all need to be committed. Yeah. And then, so should we look at this from the point of view of, is this burning out on commitments? How do you want to cover it?
Well, you know, you talked about a meeting that for years you just rotated from one chair to another. You know, I'm secretary, I'm treasurer, I'm GSR, I'm treasurer, I'm secretary, I'm treasurer, I'm GSR.
Yeah.
You know.
Been there, done that.
Rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's actually a very good way of putting it. Rearranging the deck chairs of the Titanic.
And then I kind of brought it up also because there's somebody sitting here in our audience tonight. And I asked Shelley, how long do you keep a commitment for? How long is too long? Did somebody put a cigarette out in your soda?
No,
it's Shelley's soda.
Oh, whoops.
Tastes like prune juice.
Mm. That's good. That's Diet Dr. Chill.
It's like Dr.
So, Shelley, that was my question. How long should you keep a commitment for and how long is too long? And what's the purpose of giving up a commitment?
Well, the purpose of giving up the commitment is that someone that hasn't had the commitment can grow in their own recovery by serving others.
But what if they don't do it right and screw up the meeting?
Well, you'll probably know about that post-haste, and you can vote that person out and vote somebody else in that needs a commitment. I mean, I think that at least in our CA groups, I think it's 3 meetings, no call, no show, and the group can take a vote to get you off that commitment.
I'm glad you threw the second part of that sentence.
What?
The group could get you off that commitment.
You don't go there anymore. You just live there.
Yeah, okay. So, well, you know what? And see, that's an interesting thing. Like, how long should you keep? I mean, my thing has always been you keep a commitment until the time frame of what the commitment is over.
Right.
Which is?
Whatever it is for that meeting. Like a GSR is 2 years, or a secretary is either 6 months or a year or whatever. Treasurer is usually like a year. But what I've seen happen before, and I've done it, you know, you're treasurer for a while, for a year, and then you become the secretary, and now you got another year. And then you're one of the only people with over 2 years, so they make you a GSR, which is a 2-year commitment. Right there, you just had 4 years. And you know what?
What?
I haven't even had that much. I've been going to that Thursday night CA meeting ever since I can remember, for 20-something years. And I've done all those commitments a bunch of times, and it's never stopped me from going to that meeting. So, I mean, I don't know. I've gone through it and back through it and over through it. And it's only been like the last year or so that I haven't had a commitment at that meeting. And I kind of do because of...
you're the donut. You're the donut lady.
GSR,
yeah, you're the donut man.
H&I. But, you know, that's not, you know... I don't know. I've done it a zillion times there. And I've done whatever the amount of the time of the commitment is. Mm-hmm. And if I got voted into another commitment, then I did that amount of time. I think on the last time before we switched out, I think I did the year commitment for about a year and a half because there wasn't anybody to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And we run into those problems sometimes in some meetings where, you know, you're supposed to. It's not like back
most
in the day.
People are newer.
Back in the day when the treasurer had 30 days in CA, because 30 days was a lot of time.
And when Susie collected $25?
He was gone.
Yep.
Well, there's also, at least for me, I had this experience. You know, knowing when to give up the commitment is equally as important as knowing when not to give it up. Because I was the secretary of a Monday meeting, and I was elected to the position when I only had 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it for a year. By the time I got to the end of the year in that commitment, I wasn't ready to give it up. I wanted to still be the secretary.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I had, you know, by the rules of the group were after a year you give it up. And we had 2 weeks before the end of my term, we'd had the elections, we'd elected a new person who, interestingly enough, my last night came to me and said, I'm not ready to take the commitment, because he was going away for a few weeks. He said, could you possibly keep doing it until October, which was like 2 months later. For me, that was like a God shot, because I was really not looking forward to giving up my commitment. Gave me just enough time to get completely sick of it. By the time he came in and said, okay, I'm ready to take my position now, and he did it for the full year, you know, after that. And then he took it. There's kind of, for me, there's always been this balancing act between, do I want to do this? How long do I want to do this? Am I ready to give it? I've been the secretary for the Tuesday meeting. I'm pretty sure I'm past a year,
uh-huh.
And I don't really care, and I don't really think anybody else cares either. Because I'm going to keep going to the meeting, and it's not so much that I even run that meeting, it's just sort of we just do what we do every week, and because of the format, it's not really a leader type of meeting. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If there was no secretary at that meeting, it wouldn't matter. So, I mean, I'm sure I will give it up soon.
How about this, Mark? You and I are both work... And I don't think it's a timed commitment at all. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it's not. But we have both worked on the phone lines, I don't know, a couple of years?
I've had it for over 2 years.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, I don't even know if there is a commitment time on that. But it doesn't really matter, because I don't foresee giving it up in the next... You know, I don't see any reason to give it up.
Right.
And And it's sort of a different kind of commitment because there's not, you know, you have to do a specific something all the time. Occasionally you get calls and things. But, you know, we've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
And I've been doing the H&I taking a panel to a place for about, for probably a good 2 years that taking that panel mm-hmm. as well. And yeah. I don't know what, you know. Well, actually, there's no real commitment for that. That's just a panel we decided to send to a recovery facility.
Right.
But what do you think, Mark, about different? You know, you're asking Shelley what she thought about, you know, how long commitments, if you should keep one. What do you think?
Well, you know, the reason the topic came up the last show was our last show was on program apathy, and I just feel so much the last couple of years I've seen people come in the program. And they don't want to take commitments. They don't want to keep commitments. And, you know, and the reason I brought it up because, you know, Debbie's got a meeting she's been secretary of for 3.5 years now.
Cocoa Puffs.
Yikes. 3.5 years.
And every month she puts it out there that her commitment ran out about 2 years ago and would somebody else like to take it.
And nobody steps up.
And you hear crickets.
Aren't you supposed to ask for nominations and then other people nominate people that could do it but aren't raising their hands and then you have enough?
We nominate her back.
So,
here's
the thing. So skip the meeting 3 weeks in a row and then they'll vote you out.
I'll just go out there and nominate someone.
No, here's
the thing. Let's take nominations. Mark will nominate some dude. I'll say
second.
I'll say second. Yeah. He'll move. I move the nominations to be close.
Well. Except for, you know, the people at that meeting, for the most part, have too much time to be railroaded into anything. And so...
I don't know, though. Guys with a lot of time, though, sometimes when they get railroaded, they really, because they've got time, they don't have any excuse on why they can't take it. You know, because newcomers always go, well, I don't know if I could always be here. And people go, well, on the night you can't be here, you call someone else. An old-timer... can't even say that because he'd be like, yeah, I could get someone to cover for me if I couldn't show.
Our new literature guy has 4 years.
Mm-hmm. You awesome.
Know, yeah, so it's like there's some time, which is a great meeting.
Yeah, but, I spoke there.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just how long is too long?
I think too long is when you think, you know, if you've covered your commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Done what the minimum time requirement is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if no one asks you to go and no one suggests that you go, I don't see why you couldn't keep it as long as you want it.
Yeah.
If it gets to a point where you're ready for someone else to take it, we know we could make that happen. I mean, we've talked about it before. You can make votes happen, and you can make votes happen the way you want them to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you can do that. Shelly's having her own personal summer over here.
Yeah.
We're all freezing because it's like
Shelly's
2 degrees
Shelly's
above freezing in L.A.
Yeah, yeah. I'm all hot.
Yeah, she just took off her...
The shawl.
Her shawl.
No, it's the shawl in capitals.
The shawl.
A shawl. Well, the commitments that I personally think are the most important that they turn over every 6 months or so are... the newcomer commitments.
The ones that require no time.
You know, coffee, literature, chips. Those really... I had the literature commitment at that one meeting for 2 years. That was 18 months too long.
Coffee guy's got 18 years.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's... but those are commitments that I would hand over to a newcomer with glee.
But
they don't come back. They don't come back. And they make crappy coffee.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing I was going to mention along with what
you got to train them.
Here's the thing that I mentioned along with what I was going to mention along with what Mark said. Is it that we've got people coming in that have had their bottoms raised so much that they're not dying when they get here and they're not willing?
True.
I mean, I remember when I was new, they'd tell me, go wipe ashtrays. And I'd be like, okay, because that's what they told me to do. I mean, what a crappy job that used to be. Go clean all the ashtrays. I felt like a pledge in a fraternity. Go clean all the ashtrays. Okay. Now you can't get a guy hardly to give out chips, you know, which is like one of the easiest commitments. Look, dude, if you want to hug all the newcomer girls, yes. Okay, then be the chip guy. Okay, you can't even get them to do that anymore.
No. Yeah, that's probably part of it, is that they're not willing to go to any lengths. And it's not like I'm asking.
They're not willing to go to any lengths.
Yeah, well, I know.
Not willing to go to any lengths.
Here we are with multiple years, all of us, talking about how we do commitments.
Yeah.
That's why we have multiple years. That's, you know, the people that don't take commitments, like Debbie had just said in the peanut gallery, those are the people that stop showing up. They're not doing anything.
And I stress that quite often. I have said, you know, from my little, when I get on a little soapbox rant, take a commitment. It keeps you sober. It makes you accountable. You've got to show up. You've got to do your job. Because I take things seriously. Because I didn't want to drink. I didn't want to lose my husband. I didn't want to lose my family. I didn't want to lose me. Yeah. I had a motivation. I wanted to get it.
I mean,
that's how you get it.
Are we reaching a point now where it's almost time to start judging who should even be in meetings?
Judging?
I'm not a judge.
Okay, well, hold on. Okay, we'll give you
the, here come
me,
the judge.
Let me give you the scenario.
Okay, you lay it down.
Guy comes into the meeting. Has to get his court card signed 10 times.
Right.
He's a drug dealer who has no intention of stopping and is recruiting clientele out of the meeting.
Ooh.
How do you know?
Because we're watching him do it.
No, I mean, how do you know he's a drug dealer?
Because he has said so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Then why are... Now, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, going back to the traditions, the only requirement for membership is a desire to quit using blah, blah, blah.
That's the only...
But he doesn't have a
desire.
That's
a requirement for membership, but it's an open meeting. Anybody can come.
Right.
Oh, crap. Close the meeting. Take a vote to close the meeting.
Then you're done. Sign his card. Send him on his way.
I mean, but we're reaching this point now where it's not people are coming in because he's not hitting a bottom. He's recruiting new clientele.
And he's a motherfucking businessman.
That guy's your best business
on
Main
Street.
You know
what? I'm telling you what. Man, if I was a corporate headhunter, that guy'd be right at the top of my list.
Yeah.
That guy right there knows how to work it.
Yikes. Yeah. There's got to be something you can do about that. That's
what can
not
you do?
Kosher. I don't know. I'm sitting here. My wheels are turning. I'm trying to find the loophole, because there's always a loophole somewhere.
Well, you know, 9 times out of 10, the unexpected happens.
That makes it expected.
Oh, yeah.
So, Shelley.
Yes.
What would your final words on the subject be?
On this subject?
Well, yes, the one we've been talking about.
I just thought you said a subject.
No, the subject.
Well, what I said before, what I say all the time, what I've said to every sponsee I've ever had, we need to get you a commitment.
Why?
Because you need to be of service. Get out of yourself.
Okay.
They show up one time and then I never see them again. You want to stay sober? Do what the people that have time do. Follow the leader. This is not... You don't have to be a mental giant to do this. Believe me. I know. I am not one. Do what you're told to do. That includes taking commitments.
Mark.
What?
Final words.
Commitments will keep you sober, but you got to keep your commitment. And don't drink or use no matter what.
I'll tell you, it's that thing you do.
Doing the thing you do.
See, no one's going to get that. That thing you do, that's a song.
Yeah, I know it is.
By a group.
You do.
The commitments.
Doing that thing you do.
Oh, okay.
Ah.
I got it.
Do that thing you do. You know what? Commitments kept me sober. If you're going to take them, do them. If you wonder how the people in front of you got a lot of time, that's one of the ways they did it. And if you can't get off your ass to make it to a meeting to have a commitment, you're probably not that committed to your recovery. Oh, don't forget Recovery Idol. I mentioned it at the beginning. I'm mentioning it at the end. Do a song. Mention Recovery 101 or Recovery 101 Radio in the song.
Don't come back.
You could put our names in the song, Mark, Shelley, and Bruce, if you want to. Boy, I'll tell you, our peanut gallery has gone to the bathroom 357 times.
Our back lawn is turning into mud over there.
No, I don't know. I'm not. The last time I saw a bathroom, the guy go to the bathroom this many times,
he was
his name
dope.
Was Jake. And this guy was shooting dope. He was chipping.
Zach.
Yeah, but we can't say Zach anymore because there is a Zach we know.
We have a real Zach now.
Jake.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Jacques?
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake? Okay.
Shake and bake.
Half a cake?
Shake and bake, half a cake. Anyway, you can write a song. This. You can send it in to one of our email addresses as an MP3. The email address is, recovery101radio@gmail.com. You can join the crack advertising staff at recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. I did these before I should have.
That's okay. Do them now.
Shelly?
What?
Do them now.
Someone's listening to the show.
Woot! I'm excited. Hopefully they have gone to recovery101.net and clicked on. I mean, any way you listen to
what
it is great.
They listened in on Facebook.
That's great. However you listen, that's terrific. But if you would like to be of service to Recovery 101, go to recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click on like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, then you've just been counted. That helps us with our numbers. We really appreciate that. If you're not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It's free.
Fun.
Please do it. Then you can find out, you can get, what do you call it? Reminders of when new shows post. You could follow us. You can like old shows. Leave topic suggestions. If you leave topic suggestions, leave them like on the topmost show that so that Bruce sees them. Because if you leave it like on a show from 1982, we won't see it.
Yeah, we really won't see it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm just saying. And you can put us on playlists so that you can have like Recovery 101 24 hours a day.
Sweet.
Dude,
Mark.
What?
Who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
And I'll bet it's cold back there. The other white meat.
Shoveling away, baby.
Shoveling that global warming out of his driveway.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can go up onto recovery101.net. You can scroll down. You can find the link and click it. We'll take you to his fine publication, which you can read online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription, and he will send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a recovery home or a sober living or someplace where many of us sick gather, contact Bruce and he'll send you some hard copies to strew about the location.
Awesome.
Shelly is like lost.
No, what?
In thread.
She's reading mini moves.
No, I'm not. Why would I read the mini moo box?
I don't know. What are you doing then?
She's
counting
the stitches
on the scarf.
You know what? So I'm really upset that I knew what she was doing.
Shelly's really easy to entertain.
Wow.
No, so this is like, I think I could probably do that because it's like you skip two double
Pearl
crochets
one,
in the same loop, chain two, skip two.
Hey, Shelly.
I think I could do that. What?
Skip to the loom, my darling. I'm sure everyone at home is enthralled with that. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101, rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Shelly, who's the lead on music? Bye.
Electra.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I've been to the end. And I have pictures to show all of my friends. I've been all alone. And I've been desperate and searching for something. I have been to the end. With no one there to catch me from falling. Take my hand. Lost and looking for someone.